And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Jeff Daly. He is the Executive Director of the Lafayette General Health Foundation, here to talk about the foundation as well as their third annual art auction and fundraising gala, which will take place on October 3rd at the Hyman Performing Arts and Convention Center. And before we get to the gala and all the wonderful things that are going to happen that night, I'd like to talk about some of the phrases that you all use now. Lafayette General Health, for one, for those of us who are from this community and for many, many years have been used to saying Lafayette General Hospital, Lafayette General. Just talk about the organization itself. As we were saying a little bit earlier, some people are still uncertain as to whether what the status of Lafayette General Health is. It is a not-for-profit community organization still. Is that right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Lafayette General Health is a community-owned not-for-profit. Our mission is to restore, maintain, and improve the health of Acadiana. Lafayette General Health is something people may have heard about earlier this summer of a new brand that came out. So people know us as Lafayette General Medical Center. That's still the name of our flagship facility over on Coolidge and Coolidge and College Road. But Lafayette General Health now really represents something beyond, because with the acquisition of the University Medical Center, that has enabled us to evolve. So we are no longer just a hospital. We are now a health system. There are five hospitals across our health system. We've got affiliations with a number of other hospitals around the area. And we're really being able to evolve to the point where we can start having an integrated health system that can address all of the needs of Lafayette.
And when you say there are five hospitals in that system, but what are you referring to? The one on Coolidge and College?
Yep, the Lafayette General Surgical Hospital, St. Martin Hospital, the and I'm having a bit of a brain fart right
UMC,
now on the other two.
So a system and some that are a little wider spread than just the Lafayette area.
Yeah, our service area is all of Acadiana.
Right, okay. Well, tell us just a bit about the history of, and some people may not know how long the system, Lafayette General, has been in our community.
Absolutely. It's amazing because Lafayette General is one of those entities that's been around for 100 years. I mean, that's an incredible track record of delivering care to our community in that way. But what's been even more exciting is what's happened over the last 5 years, because we've grown from a decent organization to one that is a truly a high-performing organization. In the last 5 years, we've been able to triple in size while improving outcomes, improving patient satisfaction, upgrading our facilities. I'm sure a lot of people have seen the construction going on outside of Lafayette General right now. It's really been a remarkable organization to become a part of. I started there in January. And the more I learn about the organization, the more impressed I am at the team they have over there and the kind of care that we're able to deliver to this community.
Mm-hmm. And you came here to Lafayette very excited about some specific opportunities that Lafayette is offering fiber. And some people may remember you were here for FiberCorps and talking about those opportunities, but also very interested in healthcare. So even though your interests are technology and fiber and healthcare was very important to you, can you talk a bit about that and how you came to those interests?
Absolutely. So my passion that caused me to first discover Lafayette is fiber. And in trying to really answer the question of once you have fiber, what do you do with it? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you actually improve society in various ways? And so I moved down here about 3 years ago to start up a nonprofit called FiberCorps, which is made up of a variety of different community organizations focused on facilitating projects that leverage fiber. So we were able to do a lot of interesting things in the community, helping set up the first telemedicine clinic in Lafayette over at Stellar Settings, where employees can get primary care at the job site versus having to leave work and drive to the doctor's office and spend all that time, to getting our community signed up as the pilot site for the State Health Information Exchange. What that does is you've seen lots of doctors now have electronic medical records. The Health Information Exchange is what connects those together so that data can be shared between different locations. And so there were a variety of projects like that that we were doing in the healthcare arena that all ended up falling underneath this umbrella of the overarching goal of trying to transform our community into a living lab for healthcare innovation. By that, we mean a real-world testbed where we can try out the next generation of healthcare technologies, policies, and procedures. And so working within that framework in close collaboration with the university, in particular, particular the Center for Business and Information Technology, we were able to put on an event the last 2 years in a row called Cajun Code Fest, which is a big coding competition. Get a bunch of application developers in a room, give them lots of caffeine and pizza, and say, build something cool that can help improve the health of our community. That's been a really good event, especially from the perspective of bringing down some high-profile types, including the Chief Technology Officer of the United States, the Chief Technology Officer of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Chief Architect of Microsoft Health Solutions, and I can go on.
So these weren't just local coders coming to this
event. Exactly. Although it was, great representation by the strength of our local coding community as well. And so working within all of that, I ended up getting a call in the fall from David Calicod, the CEO of Lafayette General Health. And he really had this very interesting vision to say, we need to get a foundation off the ground, just in general. We've been around 100 years and we've never had a foundation. But that he really wanted to not just have another foundation. He wanted to have a foundation dedicated to driving innovation into our health systems operations. And in particular, was really inspired by this vision of a living lab and how can we make Lafayette General a real hub for that whole concept. And so his pitch to me was to say, hey, I want you to come run this foundation. I want you to keep doing the living lab stuff that you've been doing. We're also working on setting up an angel investment fund as well so that we can have this integrated system. So if you're a healthcare innovator, we can be your test bed to try it out, see how it works in the real world. We can be your customer, assuming we like it, and it's something that we want to keep utilizing. And we can be your investor and by bringing both dollars to invest and strategic partnerships to be able to help these companies come to the marketplace. It's a really unique opportunity because healthcare is a very challenging space. As a community-owned nonprofit, and given everything that's happening with reimbursement in the healthcare arena, we operate on very slim margins. So as a result, it's really important for us to be innovative in how we use technology to be able to continue to improve care and continue to cut costs while not cutting the quality of service, because that's obviously the number one goal within all this.
Well, give us a sense of that, because for many of us, our only experience with the healthcare system maybe taking our children to the doctor, mm-hmm. if we're healthy, maybe once a year, maybe not. What do you mean by innovation that can really help the greater population? I mean, some of the ideas may be coming out of the Coding Fest that you're talking mm-hmm. about and what you're hoping to do. What kinds of innovations are you talking about specifically? Maybe some examples.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think the telemedicine clinic is one example of that because there was a real challenge at Stellar, which is one of the largest employers in town. They also have very significant security around their facility because it's a jewelry manufacturer. And so as a result, going to see the doctor in the middle of the day would be a multi-hour experience and really cut into your productivity and just be very disruptive to your day. And so Matt Stuller, the CEO over there, had a real vision to say, okay, I want to find a way to change this paradigm and make care more accessible to my employees. At the same time, Lafayette General Health wanted to kind of experiment a bit with a different mode of care delivery. You know, how do we make care as accessible as possible? And so by putting in place this on-site clinic where there's a nurse that comes in 10 to 2 Monday through Friday. It essentially serves as a virtual extension of an urgent care facility. The process is all exactly the same. The employee or the patient comes in, does the initial triage with the nurse, gets the vitals, the main complaint, all that. Then instead of the doctor walking into the room, the doctor comes in via video conferencing. They're able to then have the visit. We even have a Bluetooth stethoscope and otoscope so they can look in your ear, look in your nose, check your heart rate. It's also kind of interesting because we've set up a second screen in that office whereby you can actually see what the doctor is seeing. So typically you don't get to see that, right? You kind of mm-hmm. have to go based on what the doctor tells mm-hmm. you. And so now what we've been able to do is that Stellar even set up a separate deal where they've got a pharmacy that will deliver drugs on site as well. And so now it went from if you wanted to go see the doctor before this, it'd be a 3 to 4 hour process between getting up from your desk, going through multiple layers of security, driving to the doctor's office, waiting in the doctor's office, getting seen, driving back, going through security again. It was a real chore. And so a lot of people wouldn't go. They'd push it off. Little colds would become big colds and all those types of issues. Well, now you go in, you get seen, you're in and out in less than half an hour, and you're able to make it a much more convenient experience. So now the question is, once we've got that established there, how do we make that work in other employers around town?
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to be so big and, mm-hmm. and may not have the same resources?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it is a challenge in that it's going to have to be larger employers to start with because of the economics mm-hmm. of it. But then we're also looking at just going through the exploration phase of, well, what if we could bring this paradigm into the school system? right? Because we've got a real challenge with being able to provide health care to our low-income children in this mm-hmm. community. A lot of clinics don't take Medicaid. A lot of providers don't take Medicaid. The ones that do are very busy. So you have a cold, and if you're on Medicaid, it can take you multiple days to be able to actually get in to see someone. So all of a sudden, a little issue becomes a big issue at that point. And so we're still in the earliest phases of kind of exploring this, but the concept is really strong to say, what if we could deliver care to the kids in their school, mm-hmm. you know, where the parent doesn't have to leave work because maybe it's a single-parent family that's working two jobs and can't get away, or by getting away, that means they're not getting paid, and therefore there's not food on the table, you know, later that night. Then the opportunity that that creates to have benefits throughout the community in terms of improving academic performance, improving graduation rates, improving future economic achievement for those students. It also has a positive impact on Lafayette General, because the more that we can reduce unneeded visits to the emergency department, the better it is, because a lot of folks end up in the emergency department who don't need to be in the emergency department. And that ends up crowding the space, so it's going to be harder to get the people who actually need service to get in there. It can be a challenge financially as well. So that's one example of the kind of innovation.
Yeah, and what you're talking about, that living lab where you mm-hmm. have a situation where you institute those ideas and see how it works. And
exactly.
And think of other ways that they could be used in the community. I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, my guest is Jeff Daly. He's the executive director of the Lafayette General Health Foundation, which is a part of Lafayette General Health, mm-hmm. which many of us knew as Lafayette General Medical Center, or even the Lafayette Sanatorium, I think, mm-hmm. years ago. So we're going to be talking about your gala, which is your annual mm-hmm. fundraising event in just a little while. But I think people are very interested in because that is a topic of conversation for a lot of people, the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. It's very mysterious to a lot of people. People feel caught up in it. But what it sounds like your foundation is trying to do is to work on ways to make that less onerous, not only for doctors, but also for the community members.
Absolutely. The way we look at it, we've got some very visionary leadership within our organization. They realize that, we basically have a mandate of innovate or die. That's the choices we have with where we're at. And so we look at it as 5 years from now, healthcare may be delivered very differently than it is today. And so rather than be the laggard who's trying to play catch up on all that, we want to get out ahead of that curve and really start identifying what are some low-hanging fruit where we can start making access to our care more accessible, make it more powerful. We're exploring some projects within the area of – there's a whole bunch of interesting consumer health IT devices and diagnostic devices coming on the marketplace that can help. It's from as simple as a scale, but instead of it just being a scale, now your weight can be transferred wirelessly to a computer that then can be shared with your provider. Same thing with glucose meters or blood pressure meters or things like that. Well, the challenge has been that these devices exist, but they tend to exist in a vacuum where you as an individual have to know about them, have to educate yourself, have to go find it, go buy it, go set it up, and then it's basically just for your own good. We're trying to look at, well, how can we actually incorporate that into the care delivery process. So now when you go visit the doctor is not just going based on the vitals they collect within that room, but they're going based on data that's being collected out in the real world, so they can actually know how you're
doing.
Daily. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interesting pieces of how to be able to pull that off, but that's really what we're trying to be able to start looking at is there's a whole bunch of tools out there, but there aren't enough solutions where those tools are being incorporated with the actual delivery of care and the compensation of care as well. And so we want to try to start getting out ahead of that curve because not only do we improve our ability to deliver great care to the citizens of Lafayette and Acadiana, not only do we improve the health of Acadiana in that way, but by doing it in such a way that we can serve as a test bed with this investment fund with it, we want to then be able to help these companies come to market, be able to invest in them and have it long term be an opportunity for us to generate more money for mm-hmm. the organization because the better we can be, the stronger we can be financially, the better the care that we can deliver, the more services that we can offer, the more we can be continually upgrading and expanding facilities and continuing to really fulfill that mission that we have to restore, maintain, and improve the health of our community.
Right. I think many of our listeners who do listen to NPR, All Things Considered Morning Edition, may remember several reports this past year on healthcare being delivered to places in Alaska or places where doctors just couldn't get to those villages, or people, it was a two-hour plane ride to get even the basic medical care. And some of the things you're talking about that are delivered via technology, computer, fiber, allows the doctors to receive that data daily about these patients who are so far flung. But what you're talking about is that's helpful even in a community like Lafayette, because there are many people who put off going to the doctor because of work or because of age or disability or just difficulty.
There's all sorts of ways it can be useful. A big component is the more rural type areas where there just isn't any care available. There's also usefulness in situations where maybe there's a facility that has some substance, but it's not big enough to have a particular kind of specialist in that kind of way. And is there a way that we can expose the specialists that we have out into those and make them accessible out into those satellite type of operations? There's the opportunity to create these feedback loops between patients and providers, so providers can have much more insight into what's going on with patients, and patients can have that insight too, and can really start owning their own health in a much bigger, better kind of way. It's remarkable in that there is so much possibility out there. There's really no limit. And the reality is we have to be able to embrace this in a big way. When you see some of what's happening, I mean, people have talked about the fact that we need to find a way to, how do we deliver, one of the things I heard the chief medical officer of Intel say once at a conference recently is, how do we deliver twice as much care for half as much money? Because that's the kind of paradigm we need to be moving to. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't get there through incremental change, through doing 1% better here and there. We need to be radically changing the way that these things operate in that fashion. And so Lafayette General Health really wanted to create a vehicle for being able to have those kinds of discussions, facilitating those kinds of projects, and really trying to get out ahead of that curve, in that way, because we know we need to get there. We can't just stay stagnant. We have to keep growing, have to keep doing better. Mm-hmm. That's why it's such an exciting challenge, because there's all sorts of work to be done.
Right. Well, you mentioned obviously having the nurse on site and information from Stuller, going to the doctor. Tell us about some of the ideas that came out in the Cajun Code Fest, just ideas that you thought were interesting that haven't been implemented, but that really struck you as something that people might find interesting.
Absolutely. So this this last year, the theme was Own Your Own Health, which is the idea of how do you empower patients to better be able to understand their own health and engage with it, in that kind of way. The team that won had a very interesting idea where it was a medication tracking application where you'd actually be able to put these RFID, radio frequency identification chips, on your pill box, or your pill case rather. And then when you went to go to take a pill, you actually held your phone up to the pill case. It registered saying, yep, he took his pill. Time to move forward. And then created a feedback loop between that and the providers, where the providers could say, hey, this person's actually taking their pill, or hey, this person's about to run out, or hey, this person took it, but they took it 2 hours after they were supposed to, and create a whole new layer of kind of understanding when it comes to medication management, in that way. Another example is one that I actually went and got my hands dirty and jumped on a team this year, and we were effectively the runner-up for it. And we built a symptom tracking application to make it very simple for someone to be able to look at, okay, here are the five symptoms that I have. How do I make it very, very easy for anyone to be able to track how I'm doing on any given day? And then be able to circle that again back to the provider. So not only do you get new insight as a patient into how your health is doing over a period of time, but now your provider does as well. And they're able to see what's going on with this patient, in that way.
And you're talking about all this happening on very small devices.
Yeah, that's your cell phone.
Right, your cell phone.
Exactly. Amazing. Yeah, and where that's going to go next is going to get even crazier, because there's a whole bunch of interesting sensors that can now plug into your phone, like an otoscope, so a camera that can look at your skin and look at a skin lesion of some sort. And you don't have to go into the doctor to do that. You just go, put it on your camera, pop it on your thing, and the doctor's now looking at it as if they were there right next to you. We're just in the earliest stages of this. What's really exciting is that there's a lot of smaller companies out there now, innovative companies that are trying new things and seeing how they work in that way. And so we want to be able to go sort through which are the best of breed, bring them into our community, and be on the front lines of using this kinds of
Try
technology.
Them out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you are just tuning in, my guest is Jeff Daly, Executive Director of the Lafayette General Health Foundation. Lafayette General in our community for over 100 years, a nonprofit community-based healthcare system now.
Exactly.
Hospital. You have the third annual gala coming up. It's an art auction and fundraising gala that helps you out in this vision and these efforts to bring better care to our community. Tell us about the gala. What's going to happen that night?
Absolutely. Well, we're really trying to make it a night to remember. The kind of experience where people are going to walk out of that buzzing and excited about the future of Lafayette. So the event is October 3rd. It's at the Hyman Convention Center, the space in the back of the Performing Arts Center. What the overall event is going to look like is starting off with typical hors d'oeuvres and drinks, but trying to do something fun. We're working with Jolie's for the food and trying to have some kind of out of the ordinary, yet not too scary type of food options. For example, you know, one of the items is a little cherry tomato with quinoa, cucumber, golden raisin, and lemon creme fraiche in there.
Also.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, because we want it to be vegan and vegetarian friendly, you know, as well, so everyone can enjoy what's happening. Moving into a program where you get a chance to hear a bit of it's going to start with a patient who got a deep brain stimulation surgery and was able to save his ability to continue playing the music that he loves. Lauren Lang, who's plays for the Acadiana Symphony. He's going to perform a piece and tell a bit of his story and give a live demonstration of what this technology means to him. You'll get a chance to hear a little bit about the great successes that have happened this past year and what's to come in the future. You'll also get to hear a bit about how we look at philanthropy, because that's really what this event is about. It's a culmination and a kickoff of starting to understand what philanthropy means within the context of our nonprofit community health system. And that's, I think, a really important point to dive into for a moment, because a lot of people look at philanthropy and charity as the same thing, but they're really not. They're both very important, very valid things. Charity is where you're cutting a check to somebody else for them to go do something for somebody else. Philanthropy is really something more than that. If you go back to the original definition of philanthropy, the Greeks used it to mean something along the lines of to love what it is to be human. It was their belief that the highest aspiration of any individual was to have the goal of trying to find some way that they can contribute to improving the state of what it means to be human. That's a really powerful thing to be thinking about. So that's something that is not just about doing something good for somebody else. It's doing something good for yourself. It's not just about cutting a check and walking away. It's about engaging and finding whatever resources it might be that you have to be able to bring to bear, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's influence, whatever that might be.
Vision.
Exactly. Vision, exactly. And so we really want to start laying that out, because in my belief, with that kind of definition, you can make the case that we've got, you know, 2,000-3,000 people who wake up every day working for Lafayette General Health with a philanthropic mission of how do we make this community healthier? How do we educate the next generation of our healthcare workforce? We have to make money, but that's not the primary goal. The primary goal is this philanthropic aspect. You'll also get a chance to hear some more of some of these innovation projects that I've been talking about today. We've got a great musical talent, Mackenzie Bork, who is a 19-year-old gentleman who was on The Voice this past year as a local boy. His life was actually saved at Lafayette General a couple of times in his early teens. He's going to do an incredible set that we're very excited about. We're very grateful to have Senator Fred Mills coming in as our auctioneer. And if anyone's seen him perform, you know you're going to get some laughter, you know, going on without a doubt. We've got a bunch of great, about 25, 30 different art pieces, primarily from people who work for Lafayette General Health who have a passion for art and want to share that passion with the community. And then a few special surprises throughout the evening as well. You know, it's our goal, again, to make people who come, you know, feel like this is just an incredible experience. They can't wait to get back the next year. And to really start this dialogue and this conversation around Lafayette General as a philanthropic organization, and how can we start better giving individuals and organizations in the community the chance to be a part of our mission and to start collaborating with us on achieving these goals of improving, maintaining, and restoring the health of our community.
Well, and you've certainly given them some very specific, interesting projects that have taken place and that you're hoping to institute here. If you are interested in purchasing tickets for this gala,
go to www.lghgala.com. You can also give me a call at 337-944-9595. We very much welcome anyone who's interested in being a part of the future of healthcare in this community. There's no better place for you to be able to get started in that conversation than here. I really look at it as this is going to be an incredible mix of folks who all believe in that mission and all want to find a way to work together to achieve these goals that we have for our community.
All right. And if they would like more information, there's the website and also they can give you a call.
Absolutely.
Tickets available now for the 3rd annual art auction and fundraising gala for the Lafayette General Health Foundation. My guest, Jeff Daly, is the executive director of that health foundation. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the time today.